In the first part of this podcast, we explain what academic integrity is and what plagiarism means. This second podcast explains the issues in a little more detail and provides some scenarios to show you how it works in practice.
You'll be hearing advice from students and tutors, which will help you recognise the dangers and avoid accidental errors.
And at the end, you'll hear three simple rules to pull it all together.
If you don't work within the standards of academic integrity, you're in danger of being academically dishonest, taking credit for other people's work, and even cheating.
It is effectively academic stealing, if you like, to have people passing off work that is somebody else's as their own and benefiting from that.
With the coursework that we're doing at the moment, last year some people literally just copy and pasted massive chunks and just handed it in and said it was their own. Straight away the school just like, well, no it's not.
Now before you get completely paranoid, we do understand that most cases of plagiarism are accidental rather than deliberate. But the university does expect all students to develop their academic skills so they don't plagiarise accidentally and open themselves up to accusations of cheating. The point is that there can be a fine line between carelessness, laziness and premeditated cheating. And let's face it, none of these exactly sound good now, do they?
But what about your own work? Is it possible to plagiarise yourself?
Say you've been working on a group assignment with some other students. You write the first section all by yourself, but because the completed assignment was a group effort, all your names go on the cover. A few weeks later, you're set an individual assignment on a similar topic in another class. You assume you can use your work on that first section as the basis for your new assignment. You even ask the rest of the group if that's okay.
Sounds reasonable? Not really. Recycling may be great for the environment, but it's still plagiarism if you submit your own work for more than one assignment. If it's a new assignment on the same topic, you have to write something entirely new. And given that it's a bit pointless trying to rewrite your own words, you'd be better off talking to your tutor and selecting a different angle on the topic.
You may also be wondering if you have to include a reference for every single idea or fact you include in your work.
I was referencing everything, even lecturer's notes, which I got told was excessive.
What about common knowledge? For example, something that everyone knows.
In the UK, summer days are longer and warmer than in winter.
You wouldn't need a reference to say this. However, if you were including something more specific, such as...
In the UK, summer temperatures are, on average, 14 degrees warmer than in winter.
You'd have to cite your source of information.
One of the problems with common knowledge is identifying what knowledge is common within a specific academic discipline. If you find the same piece of information used without a reference in several academic books, you can probably assume that it's common knowledge. On the other hand, if you can find a reference for that information, it's a good idea to include it. It's better to play safe and use all the references you can find.
This is starting to sound a bit scary, but in fact there are lots of positive reasons why you should include references. And we don't just mean showing you've done loads of reading or helping you meet the word count of your assignment.
The real reasons for referencing your work are that it shows you're aware of existing knowledge about the topic and have acknowledged the sources on which your work is based. It shows you've done your research and you've learnt from what you've read. Doing it properly will get you marks too.
From a student perspective, I think the main reason for using good references and accurate citation is that you'll get good marks. But of course, you'll also learn how to construct better essays.
Referencing helps to distinguish between your ideas and ideas that you're using. Now, there's nothing wrong with using ideas. That is part of academic practice. You have to do that, and in many ways, it strengthens your argument.
But also, it shows that you've done your research well. It shows that you've had a good train of thought and where you've gone and found it, and it will help whoever's assessing your work to see your train of thought and your progression. Really, it'll only benefit you.
Above all, it enables your tutor to check your sources and verify your conclusions. If your sources can't be checked, then how can your work be verified by others so that they can build on your ideas? This is the most important reason. It's what the academic process is all about.
If there was something of interest in your assignment, I could then follow up on the reference and I could then find that piece of work. It's almost like a detective story. And the number of times I've read essays and students have uncovered pieces of work which I'm then interested to follow up, that's the key to finding it. So it's about that transparency.
clearly some forms of academic cheating are definitely against the rules. Downloading essays from the web or copying work from another student are very much no-nos. But what about collaborating for group work?
Many courses now require students to work together in small groups to complete certain assignments and projects. When you're working in groups or with friends, the line between helping and cheating can be hard to recognise. You may cross it without even realising you've done anything wrong. We've come up with some scenarios for you to think about.
Phew! Just finished writing the first draft of my assignment, but I wasn't really sure it all made sense, especially that final section. Didn't think I should show it to anyone on my course, but did ask my housemate Deepak to look it over. He does astrophysics or something. He was great. He pointed out some places where the argument didn't really stand up and suggested I find some more references to back up the conclusions. He was dead right too. What an absolute star. Not sure I could return the favour though.
This isn't cheating because although Deepak was helpful, he didn't make any specific suggestions about improvements. Getting feedback like this is a great idea, even from people on the same course. Obviously, you shouldn't let people copy your work. That's cheating and can get both of you into trouble. But swapping first drafts and providing general feedback is fine and can be really useful.
What a way to spend Christmas, typing up a course assignment. Bizarrely, Dad was really interested and asked if he could read it. No problem, Dad. It'll have you asleep in the armchair faster than the Queen's speech. But bless him, he did read it and amazingly even suggested quite an interesting angle which I hadn't thought of. Quick bit of Googling and it looks like pops onto something. Hey presto, one redrafted essay, new supporting references. Who knew the old duffer had it in him, eh?
I'm afraid this is cheating. It's still plagiarism to use someone else's ideas without crediting it, even if it's just your dad. After all, he may be an eminent professor. Input like this is referred to by reference systems as personal communication and should be acknowledged.
My dad, 25th of the 12th, 2008. Personal communication.
And one final scenario.
Surprise, surprise, another essay deadline was looming and I hadn't even read the assignment title yet. Even less surprising, neither had my mate Al from my course. So we decided to spend a whole day in the library together to get it done, then go out for a curry afterwards to celebrate. Off to the library bright and early, laptops at the ready. The Wi-Fi set up in the library is absolutely brilliant. When we find something good while researching online, we just whiz the link off to each other. Quick coffee break, and it's off to the shelf to find some relevant books. We divided these up, skimmed the relevant sections, and added post-it notes to mark any useful pages. Then we get writing. It's really useful to be able to ask each other questions like, Al, did you find anything about diet factors? Or, what do you think this paragraph means, Vic? By six, we're both done. Hurrah! Just time to swap laptops for a quick read-through to spot the typos. Then it's ready to print and time for a well-deserved korma. Bring on the poppadoms!
This scenario is about the line between collaboration, which is fine, and collusion, which means conspiring with someone else to cheat. In this case, Vicky and Al wrote separate essays, which were all their own work. They collaborated to find source material, but they didn't collude or conspire to help write each other's essays. But the fact that they discussed parts of their essays during the writing process and provided feedback afterwards could be seen as collusion. Those questions enabled them to share ideas about the topic, and it would have been easy to give each other feedback about the content rather than just spotting spelling mistakes. If they made changes later on based on each other's essays, it would definitely be cheating by collusion.
So that's everything you need to know about academic integrity, from plagiarism to collusion. It's not hard, really. Just remember these simple rules.
Number one, individual assignments must be all your own work.
Remember, by submitting your work, you are claiming that it's your own. So don't plagiarise or recycle from anywhere, whether it's books, articles, your friends, or the internet.
Number two, cite and reference all of your sources correctly and keep accurate records.
Don't make up data or references. And don't make a list of everything you've read since you were six or just crib from the reading list. Your reference list should be what you've actually read for the assignment, and make sure you know what style of referencing is required by your school.
Number three, don't help anyone else to cheat.
You can study with your friends and give them feedback on their work, but don't allow them to copy your work or do it for them. Make sure you know what forms of collaborative working are allowed for group assignments, and if in doubt, ask your tutor.
We hope you found these podcasts useful and that you can feel confident about working within the conventions of academic integrity. If you are concerned about cheating or any of the issues raised here, you can also ask your Students' Union Advice Centre.
This podcast is a production of the University of Southampton. It was presented by Vicky Sherwood and Alan Brown and was produced by Jackie Kerthoys.